Ruth, chapter 4. Just want to do a summary, because we've been on this now for about 4 or 5 weeks, if not longer. And I want us to look at this from the perspective of three perspectives. One, God practicing using Ruth. Two, what it means to us as we put ourselves in the story. Three, the map that we have in end time prophecy, the overall plan of God. So God's perspective, our perspective, how God practices as an example. I know it's the feast class, and as we get ready to, you know, I don't know when the new semester starts. I guess sometime in September or whatever. But we'll have a few new folks that have signed up or whatever. And I label the class the Fall Feast or End Time Prophecy. Well, we want to, and you said in your prayer, we want to get ready for the next person when they come. We want to be ready for the next feast when Christ comes, which is the rapture. So that's why this whole study on Ruth is so important. And it shows us where we are in that time frame of the milestones of his plan. All right? So, let me share my screen. And hopefully I'll have some time. Or what I'll do next week as we get closer to the block party is I'll tell you the areas that I need some help in, volunteers in, and you guys can kind of sign up for what you want to sign up for. And maybe I can do that at the before the end of class. All right. I think we will be able to do this, and then we'll get back on the feast next week. I don't know if next week is the first class, but everybody else who signs up, we just have to catch up. So let's go over. Chapter 1, story. Naomi's family makes a bad move because they're already in the promised land. You have two different types of people here, two different perspectives. Yesterday, when I was at the prison, I had people that rededicated their life. But I also had people who accepted him for the first time. And there's a reward, especially when you look at James chapter 5. There's in fact, somebody turned to James chapter 5. One of the guys read it yesterday. James chapter 5, I think the last two verses. If somebody would turn to that and read that for us as we go. So, first we see the story of Naomi and Elimelech, and they're in a tough time in the promised land. And they let that tough time move them from the promised land to Moab. So they go to Moab. We know Moab, they go to Moab for help. Moab is the place that you don't want to go for help. Moab is the reaction. It's contrary to the promises of God. And they get there and they stay too long in Moab. They never intended to be there that long. They never intended it to work out the way it did. I don't think anybody, when they plan things, planned for it to work out the way that it works out. But if God is not in it, please don't stay there too long. When you make a mistake, please don't stay there too long. Do not double down. Do not double down, double the bid, up to ante. No. Cut your losses and get out of Moab. All right. And so, while they're there, they lose so much. And she hears a word from God. She hears a word that God is blessing in the promised land, and so she picks up and she leaves. There are steps involved in that. One, she's humble. She knows she needs God. Two, she repents. She turns. All right? And I'm going to put all this on the website, too, so you guys can have something to look at, because there's a lot of stuff here I'm going through. All right? Three, she has hope. So she does the first three steps that each of us should be on. So look at it from God's perspective again. One, he's practicing. He's practicing the gospel. Cross, grave, resurrection. He's practicing the feast. Two, look at it from Naomi's example. I don't know if anybody got James chapter 5 or not.
What you want? Verse?
I think the last two verses. Does it go to 20?
19 and 20.
Whoever's got that, read that for me.
My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings a sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins.
You ought to highlight that one. So often, somebody gave me, I can't even tell you I had that one. Somebody gave me that yesterday at the Bill Glass thing. He's like, you know what? Because we're not only looking for people who are being saved for the first time. We're looking at people who have done exactly what Naomi has done. They have turned their back on the promises of God. They found themselves in Moab. And now we have a responsibility and an opportunity to bring them back. I not only need workers on September 9th just to do some of the logistics stuff. It is an outreach opportunity for us to reach back out and pull them into the light. Anyway, so these are the steps that we see. All right, here's some key points out of chapter 1. Don't make the wrong move during a tough time. Stand on His promises. Tough times will come. Tough times will come on your job. Tough times will come in relationships. Tough times will come in your church. Don't freak out.
So you're saying that the wrong move was her going, leaving the promised land, going to
that. Absolutely. Absolutely. So now, that's good. The wrong move was her leaving the promised land to go to Moab, which those people are cursed in the first place. Why would she want to go there? All right? What we do. So look at the three perspectives. One, God is practicing. He's using the story to show you how He's going to redeem and what His desire is. Two, where are we in the story? Maybe we never backslid, but I know good and doggone well that I have never been perfectly in alignment with God on all of my decisions. I just shared one with you. How do I get back so I don't kill off what God is trying to do in me? So now the story becomes real. It's more than a story. And then, where are we in end time prophecy? Cross, the grave, the resurrection. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. It's the feast. It's always the feast. All right. Everybody's going to go to Moab. Don't stay there too long. Don't stay there too long. And I think that's when Christ just kind of turned everything around and says, I know what you said, you know, but if you have lust or you have it in your mind, you're already committing sin. Don't let that thing dwell too long in your mind. It's more than just a physical, treat this like a parable. It's more than just physically going to Moab. It is in my mind what I'm thinking, am I going there as well? I mean, what does that look like? Or you cut me off in traffic. Well, I'm too safe to drive up and flip you off. But I'm not so safe that I might not run up on your bumper and feel some kind of way about you. And you may not even know it. But God knows. I'm in Moab. When we start looking at the Bible in such a way that we see the symbolism and we see some of the things that we have here, and then we figure out how does that play in today's world, and we play these characters out, the revelation is tremendous. And I bet everybody has been in Moab. Now, somebody might still be there today. Got to. And what the Old Testament does is when you look at the Bible, you see the Old Testament, what it does is the New Testament scriptures come to life. Now Romans 12 and 1 and 2 can really mean something through the renewing and the transformation of my mind. What does that mean? That means I am moving my mind from Moab and thoughts of Moab. And I'm standing on the promises. Okay. All right. Get out of Moab and come back to God. The word is designed to get you to move in the right direction. See, here's the word. She would have. What got her out of Moab?
Hearing that the famine was over.
Right. The word. I don't know where she got that word from, but whoever gave her that word, there's James 5. It's always the word. I need workers on September 9th, but I need somebody who has a word.
The word gave her just enough hope to be able to move forward.
And mustard seed will do it. Oh, not only do you have to have the word and hear the word, because faith comes by hearing the word, all right? But you got to do something with the word when you get it. And your blessing starts when you move. When you get the word, again, I'll have some copies of this or whatever, and I'll put it on the website. But your blessings start with your move. If you don't move, you are no closer to your blessing. You know, she had two daughters, Orpah. Some people will only go so far and then they'll turn back. Don't be discouraged. Some people, 197 people made professions. They were excited about the word of God. I don't know how many are going to turn back. I don't know how many are in the stony soil or the soil with the rocks. I don't know. I'm just looking for a couple of Ruth and Naomi's. During your move, you may lose some things that you love. During your move, you might have some things that are attached to you that will be detached. But God will still give you what you need. Don't worry about the losses. I used to work at Colonial Bank. When I got there, they said, oh, you'll never have another job. You'll retire here. I'm like, praise the Lord. I'm tired of moving around. Military's got me moving around. I got Colonial Bank. I invested in Colonial Bank. When that stock went down, I'm like, woo, penny stock. And I started throwing, I reallocated my 401k to Colonial stock. And it went up on the word that they were going to get a buyout or whatever. I'm like, ooh, boom. I mean, that stock went from 50 cents to $1.40, something like that. I'm like, woo! And I saw a lotter putting money in. I'm like, lotter's doing it. If Jimmy's doing it, I ought to be able to do it too. Jimmy got a whole lot more money that he could lose than I did. And I stayed in there too long. And over the weekend, when I couldn't get back to get my money out, it went down to 18 cents. I still ain't very thrilled about that. I lost a little bit of money off of that.
I know other people too.
Yeah. But I've got so much greater. Don't worry about the loss. He's going to let you hold on to what you need. There are three characters in the story. Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah. Which one are you? At any particular time, which one are you? I hear the word. I'm feeling pretty good about it. But it's only going to last till Wednesday. I ain't coming to church on Wednesday, so I don't know. I'm going back to Moab. I'm going back to Moab. Or Naomi. I've lost so much. I'm coming back to church, but I'm just going to be bitter while I'm there. Or Ruth. My hope is in him. Which one are you? Ruth had a divine connection to show her how to get to the place of promise. It's always good to have a divine connection to bounce things off of. If you've never been there, you won't know how to get there. God will bless you with a divine connection. Somebody who's been there and done that, connected to God, who can check you and give you confirmation. Look for the divine appointment. And sometimes the divine appointment might be you. God can't make you move, but He will bless you when you move. God could not twist her arms to make Naomi move, but her blessing's going to begin in the move. In verse 22 of chapter 1, she came back empty, bitter and mad and upset, but that's exactly where she needed to be. In fact, empty was the key to her breakthrough. Hear me now. Empty and broke and losing was the key to her breakthrough. Because if she had never lost it, she never would have moved. Can anybody praise God for your loss? I know a bunch of inmates can praise God for being in jail. Because they never would have changed their life around if they hadn't. Oh, and I always tell them, because I'm a hope dealer, you guys will be greater than me. Oh, absolutely. If you stick with this and you follow this out, your story will be greater than mine. Because He's going to bring you through more than what you've gone through, more than what I'm going through. And when He brings you out of that and people see that, they'll want to hear your story. Ruth, the Moabite said, the girl from the wrong side of the tracks. Got a whole chapter in the Bible. Whole book in the Bible. And here we are spending the last 6 weeks or more talking about this unassuming, cursed Moabite girl. Her story is greater than mine. You go through more, you get blessed with more.
Because she believed
she
in the God of
the
Naomi.
Steps.
Yep. She received the God of Naomi.
Yep. And that's just phase one. She did what 90% of Christians do not do. Reach out to others. Chapter 2, transition. Ruth continues this process. She starts this process of gleaning, which means in chapter 1, they all did step 1, 2, and 3. Here in chapter 2, she still does step 1, 2, and 3. 1, humble. I'm going to go out here and pick up me some leftovers. Go get me some hand-me-downs, all right? 2, she has to put away her pride. This is a terrible job, but I'm not going back to Moab. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to have a good attitude. 3, before she even meets Boaz, she speaks faith. Hope. Step 1, 2, 3. She speaks faith and hope. Perhaps when I go out here, somebody sees me in this condition and sees my faithfulness, and they will have mercy and favor on me. I want to wake up every day and follow those steps, no matter what it looks like in the promised land. Whether I got a pastor, I don't have a pastor. Whether I got what I need, I don't have what I need. I want to be able to wake up every day. Boom, I need you. I'm not trying to go back to Moab. Praise the Lord. 3, I'm speaking faith. This is going to be a good day because the Word of God is in me. And then we see in this chapter that she gets blessed on purpose. Step 4, she gets filled. If that ain't the feast, God practicing on Ruth. You get that? God is practicing on Ruth. I should be so blessed as God to practice on me.
Amen.
Which means, Lauren, He has to bless us on purpose. so that we can bless somebody else.
Yes.
You already told me, Susan, that people getting blessed got a line behind, want to sign up for Lauren's store or whatever. The overflow from Lauren is flowing off on somebody else, which means she's getting blessed on purpose. Ooh, I just feel a level 4, level 5 or whatever. There's an obstacle coming, but we ain't at that chapter yet.
Just literally, God had us start this and go through this book of Ruth in the exact time that we started the expansion. And every week, God has encouraged me through Ruth of what's going on in there to keep walking the steps every day.
Maybe it's just like Ruth. She just happened to land in the field of Boaz.
No.
We just happened.
At harvest time.
Yeah, at the beginning of the harvest. She didn't miss anything. Lord, I don't know how long you've been trying to do this, but you didn't miss anything.
No.
Timing is perfect for what... All right, anyway, let's go. Gleaning is what you got to do before you receive God's best. Stay humble.
Yes.
Keep plugging away. All right? Getting leftovers is okay. Getting leftovers and okay. When you get your leftovers, be okay with that. I guess that's what I'm trying to say here. That's that $12 blessing, that $2 blessing that I was talking about. Yeah, that's the $2. Don't complain about, hey!
I heard you all the way out there.
Praise the Lord. And if the word calls you to move in here, come on.
I heard you all the way out there.
God bless you.
My condolences.
I got God bless you. Thank you so much.
Just passing through.
All right.
God bless everybody. God bless everybody.
Yeah, when you leave the door open, the word will drive some folks up. Amen. That's why some people use screens. I love Amen. I love my sister. You know, when you don't have anything, you learn to appreciate things a whole lot more when they come. When I was in, I got McDonald's pies in college on the screen there or whatever. When I was in college, you know, everybody's in college or whatever, especially campus away from home or whatever. Unless you got rich parents, I didn't. You stayed broke and you stayed hungry. College kids stay broke and hungry. Absolutely. And one of the guys, one of my sweet mates or whatever, was an upperclassman or whatever. He's a junior. I was a freshman. And he started dating this girl at McDonald's. And we all went to McDonald's one day, and he was dating this girl, and the girl loved him so much or whatever that I found out about pies and french fries. I never worked at a fast food. You know, I don't know anything about food but eating, so I don't know anything. And I found out that they can only stay under the heat lamp a certain amount of time. And then they throw the pie, at least back in the day, they throw the pies and fries away. Mm-hmm. Well, we got fries and pies every time we showed up because little boy was dating a girl. It was wonderful. They were leftovers. It was gleaning. And I praised God for it. And I loved it. And it was a sad day when he broke up with that girl. I'm like, man, can you just string this on just a couple more weeks? And we went back after he broke up thinking that maybe she might give us a... Nah, that was over with. And then took the bag and I was short of fry. Anyway, let's go. When you are humble and faithful in your current season, it gets God's attention. I wish young people would understand that. That the job that you're doing right now, just be faithful, stop complaining, do the job that you're doing right now. It's going to lead to something better. Somebody's going to pay attention to it. When you are faithful in this season, it sets you up for the next season. If you know somebody that's a young person and they're not doing the job that they went to school for, tell them don't worry about it. Just do your job as unto the Lord.
Amen.
Hey, Chuck, I got a situation to tell you about. I don't tell this to too many people. Mm-hmm. This is a pretty good class. When I was running the sports purse back at the Montgomery Athletic Club, I got fired. Okay? So I was looking around for a job, and there was one that opened up at Krispy Kreme.
All right.
Okay.
delivering at night the fresh donuts to various Lynette, Georgia, Columbus, Georgia,
right.
and all that area. I was bitter, very bitter. You know, and then one day I was driving out 65 going past Shorter on my run, and I had WLBF on, and there was a guy who had an all night show on there. I think his name was Mike Kellogg.
Yeah.
He had this fog in the And he was basically saying that right there. You know, whatever you're doing, do it for the Lord.
Right.
So I said,
that's the scripture, Colossians.
Yeah, and I said, all right, Lord. You want me to do this the rest of my life? I'm going to be the best donut guy in the world. And 4 days later,
come on!
That job I've been in for 25 years as vice president of Chamber of Commerce opened up. I didn't even know what a Chamber of Commerce was.
Yeah.
I had no clue. And I've been there 25 years, that 31st this month.
Wow. That is.
And I guess my pride is I don't tell a lot of people that. Well, I had a good friend to say to me, he said, you know, the fact that you're doing that and you're not taking a handout says something.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a kingdom principle. It's not just a flash. See, that's why you got to look at this from these perspectives. It's a kingdom principle, which means it's like the law of gravity, like I said before. It works. This is the way it works. And if I know how it works, then I'm feeling pretty good and I can sleep with it. I know how this works. He'll bless you on purpose.
My daddy told us something one time, and I don't think he even knew it was a kingdom principle. But he said, you're a ditch digger. If that's a, if it's a job that is honest,
yeah.
He said, be the best ditch digger you can be. And he's saying you'll be rewarded. Now he, I don't, my dad didn't go to church. I mean, I think he was, I believe he was a believer. But he didn't go to church because he didn't like the way churches work.
Yeah,
so he stepped out of it. But he, that's what he taught us.
Yeah.
Be honest and do the best you can do of what you're doing.
And in the world where 15-year-olds are still getting shot.
Mm-hmm.
429 mass murders this year, or mass shootings this year. We're getting close. And we need to be telling our kids how to survive and how the kingdom principles work. Somebody ain't getting the message.
And we also all tell them that they are, when we see somebody doing a good job.
Yeah.
We
need to encourage them.
Man, you know, like at Walmart, I was there the other day, yesterday, and this tire guy.
Yeah,
buy his tires and all that. He was just a young guy. I've never seen him before there. He was just on it and everything. He was a man. He was a good job. Mm-hmm. He said, that's what my father, you know, where he was growing up. Yeah.
I'm going to add to my notes. New character added. And Boaz. Are you Boaz? One who encourages the faithful. Didn't see that. I think that's important enough to do it. I'll talk to you. I'm running out of time. I'll talk to you later about some other things that I found out or whatever. That's powerful to be able to encourage somebody while they're going through. Kingdom principle. Boaz encourages her, does not promote her, but encourages her to say, your future looks bright. You keep doing what you're doing. I took notice of your work. I'm going to bless you on purpose. You're still going to be a gleaner, but I'm going to encourage you to keep following the steps, because every day you wake up, you got to humble yourself, you got to repent from not wanting to be a gleaner, you got to have hope in your gleaning, and just ask the Lord and know that the Lord, according to His plan, He's going to bless you as you glean. Your transition has an expiration date. Hang in there. We need coaches like Boaz. All right. Let me see how far I can get. We're still in chapter 2. All right. God will always give you further instructions when you get there. Why is he going to give you further instructions if you ain't got there yet? He's waiting for you to obey the first instruction. He knows how simple-minded we are. We give him too much, he'll blow their little brains away. All right. Her instructions were, stay in the field of blessing, follow the example of the other reapers, notice you're protected and provided for, and don't hang out with the wrong folks in the wrong field. Let's go tell some of these young people to get a shot. Don't hang out with the wrong people, and don't hang out on the wrong areas. Go home to your mother-in-law. Go home to your mother. Your past does not disqualify you from favor or getting blessed on purpose.
Amen.
Thank you, Paul. I got let go too. I promise you, if I did not get let go from Alpha, I would not have been able to save 14 lives at the prison ministry, because I wouldn't have been connected to the prison ministry to know the people who I knew to get me hooked up with the prison ministry or whatever, and I would have missed that. Praise God, I got 5. Oh, excuse me. I was downsized. There's no thing there. It's no bad. It was downsized.
I feel like somebody needs to hear.
You still lost your job, and you were down.
I feel like somebody needs to hear that, like you say, Ruth was in transition.
Yeah.
When she was coming out of Moab, she was coming into Bethlehem with Naomi. But it wasn't easy, so it says she clung to Naomi.
Yeah.
And she said, your God will be my God, your people will be my people. But clinging, that's always spoken out, stood to me that she, as a woman, especially I think the women can relate, because we're more clingers when we're going through something.
Mentor.
But when I think of her clinging, I'm like, she reached out, grabbed hold of her garment, she clung to her and said, I'm not going back.
Yeah.
And so I feel like there's just somebody here that needs to hear. It may be hard, it may not look pretty, but cling to God. That's who she was really clinging to, is the God in Naomi. She wasn't clinging to a woman. She was clinging to what Naomi had shown her, the God, the one true living God. So cling while you're in transition.
Sure, what clinging
is there? Go back to Moab. Let God take you into the house of bread, to Bethlehem.
Yep. Verse 12 and 13. Boaz tells him, you got a much greater reward in your future. Every inmate that I talk to, I tell them, your best is in front of you. And the word will comfort you through your transition. One of the saddest things that I heard yesterday was one of the guys gave his life to the Lord. And he's like, hey, can you get me a King James Version Bible? I like to read the King James. Like, we'll try to make that happen for you. Blah, blah, blah. He says, I accepted Christ. I grew up in church. I'm glad I'm back now or whatever. I got hope or whatever. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, that's great. That's great. Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. I've got transition programs I can help you out with or whatever, job training. Yeah, I'm going to be here for 10 years. And I'm here for bad decision, sex crime. And immediately my mind was like, man, you got 10 more years. I said, well, maybe you'll get out early. Possibility, but not from my nature of the crime. It's going to be difficult. I got 10. I might get out early, but I probably got 10. In my mind, I'm going, you got a hard way to go. You got 10 more years in a state prison, and you got sex connotation with it or whatever. You just can't go anywhere you want to go. But I know this story. I'm still a hope dealer. There's nothing I can do for that young man but give him a word. Let him see himself in that story. given hope. Can God turn his life around? Can his story be for his glory?
Amen.
Then if he sticks to the plan, if he follows this, he will get blessed on purpose. In fact, God even looks for the impossible. How do you go from delivering donuts to the leader of the Chamber of Commerce in historic Montgomery, Alabama? You can't make that up.
And I'm not even from here. In fact, when I interviewed one of the employees at when I interviewed for that business job, Mike Colin hired me there. This one woman comes up and says, "You're not from around these parts, are you?"
Yeah, you don't sound like it. Yeah. And you know how they feel about Yankee transplants? Look at God. All right. Stop trying to hook somebody else up when you ain't hooked up. Don't give somebody a word you ain't got a word. And if you're broke, you better keep some money in your pocket until you... All right, so hook yourself up before you hook somebody else up. That's a spiritual principle. Wait a minute. Don't go telling people, "I know what your problem is. Let me tell you what's going on," and you haven't spent time with God. You can't hook anybody up. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You can't hook anybody else up until you've gone through steps 1, 2, 3, 4. And when you're hooked up with God, then you can hook somebody else up. But if you're not hooking them up to God, then all you're doing is hooking them up to your broke self. You don't want Chuck any day of the week, and especially on Sunday morning. You don't want Chuck. You don't want Chuck. You want what Chuck has been, where Chuck has been, what God has revealed to Chuck. You want the Holy Spirit has to be operating through me. If you get me and no Holy Ghost is in there, I have failed. It's a bad day. You need to go it on. Everything I put in your ear, just turn it to the side and just throw it out of there. And pray for me to do a better job next week.
You know, Chuck, that's a principle I think can be applied to this pastor search. You know, so many people, they go to church because of the pastor.
Yeah.
They don't go to church for the Lord.
No.
Granted, different pastors have different ways of handling that. But still, to solely go because of whoever the preacher is.
Right.
Is missing the point.
Well, you got to bring them where they are. It's almost like feeding the multitude. They're not coming from the word, they're coming from the food. But if the food can get them there, then let's go. Here's my problem. We will do things to catch fish. We'll change the bait up that will attract the fish so we can get them in the boat. I'm cool with that. But then, when you catch them, you got to clean them.
Right.
And churches do a bad job of cleaning fish. They let them stay like they are. And in the natural, if I've got a bunch of fish in the boat and I don't clean them and prep them and prepare them, they're going to spoil, and the boat's going to start stinking. And that's why in these end times we see we're bringing people in, all right, but LGBTQ, whatever, LMNOP, or whatever, all that other stuff, all right, we're bringing all of that in, all right, and you're not processing them, Rahab, before you bring them into the camp. You're not trying to deliver them. You're accepting
whatever.
Let me keep going. She's still in transition, but getting blessed on purpose. So this should be getting easier. I didn't say this through a lot of transition. I just said it's going to be easier. You know what? I asked a bunch of guys at the prison. I was like, "Isn't being a Christian hard?" "Oh, yeah, yeah, being a Christian hard, being a Christian hard." But he said, "Your yoke is easy and the burden is light." So somebody lying. And then we go through these steps. I'm like, I'm getting blessed on purpose. You're just not noticing it. And if I'm getting blessed on purpose, that means this is really getting easier than what it was yesterday. Spiritual principle. She started out gleaning. It was hard the first day. It got easier. Still gleaning, but it got easier. His yoke is still easy and his burden is still light. Just follow the steps. Oh, verse 17. It's a good idea to count your blessings at the end of the day.
And the beginning of the next morning.
Yeah. Hey, I saw my mom in diapers. I saw my dad on a catheter. Every time I get up and go to the bathroom, it's a hallelujah time. I don't take anything for granted.
Even if you feel overwhelmed, tired, whatever, it brings me out of that to remember, start thinking about the day before, what I need to be thankful for to God. And then to start out my day in that, because it brings me out of that overwhelmness and that exhaustion.
Every day I'm gleaning. I'm gleaning every day. I'm gleaning every day.
Even though situations can change, they're still
gleaning every day. And it gets easier. It gets easier for me. I'm gleaning every day because, David, we ain't going to make it. All right. I'm gleaning every day. All right. When you get blessed, bless somebody else. And when you've had time with the Lord, hopefully when you have time in this class, when you go out, somebody recognizes there's a difference. Not the same knucklehead I was before. I've spent some time with God. There's a difference. Yes, ma'am. And that clock's behind because it's 10:07. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're getting out of here. Yeah, I got to get out of here. All right. Your divine connection can help you understand and apply the word. Everybody, I don't care how old you are, needs a divine connection. Because God will say something. Boaz said something to Ruth. Ruth came back with an interpretation. But somebody who's been doing this thing long enough said, let me fix that scripture for you. I think Lawrence would probably attest to this. It's always good to get confirmation from the Lord before you move. Always get the good confirmation. Don't forget, we got a rich relative in Jesus from Bethlehem, and here, obedience is the key to blessing. Obedience is the key to blessing, regardless of what stage or phase of the steps you're in. Obedience is always the key to blessing. I've run out of time. We'll pick up at chapter 3 and close it out. And then we'll pick up the fall feast. Oh, you're going to have fun with the fall feast. Let me share with you what I shared with one of the inmates. I think the problem with the church is... people put their label in front of Christianity when Christianity should be in front of our label. That would keep us in good ground.
Example.
I'm a black guy. I'm black all day long. A little darker since I've been in that doggone sun all afternoon. I'm a black Christian. If I'm a black Christian, then my black
is more important
than my Christian. Mm-hmm. And my black's not going to get me to heaven. My Christian is. Whatever your label is, if you put it in front of the Christian, then you just water down your Christianity. And you put what you are and what your label is as a higher priority. And that is polluting the church. When your label, black, white, Asian, Irish, where you live, your LGBTQ, if that's in front of Christian, then you'll bring your label into Christianity, into the church, and that becomes more important. And then all of a sudden, God takes a second seat, and then you wind up in Moab. In the church. I'm Christian first. I'll pray us out of here. Thank you. I'm going to follow you.